you that were expecting to hear Brother John, I apologize, but I'm certainly glad to be here. We've been studying for some time in the period of Bible history. We studied the books of Ezra, and we started studying the book of Nehemiah. And in these great books, we see the restoration and the return of God's people from their captivity. That as was prophesied, that after 70 years of captivity, a remnant of the people would return. And in that period of history, we come across the outstanding character of Ezra, who we're introduced to in the 7th chapter of the book of Ezra, in which he brought back the second group of that remnant from captivity. And as was read so ably from Ezra chapter 7, verses 1 through 10, we see some of the things about Ezra, of where he came from, his genealogy. Verse 6 tells us that he was a ready scribe. Some translations will translate that word ready to be a skilled scribe. A scribe would meticulously copy the words of the law. And Ezra was very skilled at that. In verse 11, we're told that Ezra was a priest. When it refers to Ezra as the priest, the scribe, even a scribe of the words of the commandments of the Lord and of his statutes to Israel. But verse 10 of Ezra chapter 7 is going to be our sermon this evening. In Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, it's recorded of this great man of God, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." We want to look at the great example of Ezra from this verse and make some application to ourselves when we say several things that we ought to do. In the first place, this man of God prepared his heart. It says in verse 10, realize that each and every one of us in attendance this morning and throughout all the world, evening rather, are in control of our own heart. We're not, of course, talking about the blood pump in our chest, but we're talking about our mind. And Ezra, in control of his heart, it says that he prepared his heart. The Proverbs writer in the 4th chapter of the book of Proverbs, in verse 23, talked about the heart. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." This idea of preparing your heart, as Ezra did, has to do with keeping your heart with all diligence, as the Proverbs writer penned. And then in Proverbs, the 23rd chapter, in verse 7, we see of the heart that as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. That is, how we think in our heart, in our mind, determines how we as individuals will be. And just as Ezra prepared his heart, we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. As Jesus said in the 22nd chapter of the book of Matthew, in verse 37, in response to a question by a lawyer about the greatest commandment. He said it is that you'd love the Lord God with all. So this man of God prepared. But in the second place, we see what he prepared his heart to do. It says that he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. This man of God sought the Lord, and he sought his law. In the 119th Psalm in verse 2, a beautiful psalm about the law, about the beauty of it. The psalmist pens in verse 2 of Psalm 119, "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart." That is, that seek the Lord with the entirety of their heart, just as this man of God did in Ezra chapter 7 and in verse 10. And Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 33, a passage that we're all familiar with, when Jesus was speaking to his disciples, and said, "To seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." That is, above all else, to seek the kingdom of God, which is the church, and his righteousness, which is the commandments of God. And when we make a list of our priorities, where do spiritual things fall in that list? For heeding the commandment of Jesus, it'll be above all else, when we seek first the kingdom of God. When Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, in Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1 of that book and that chapter, he says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, and set your affection on those things." Colossians chapter 3. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and set your affection on things above, and not on things of the earth." You know, he could have prepared his heart to seek a number of things. Not worldly education, he could have sought money, he could have sought wealth, or any number of things. But he sought the law of the Lord, just as we're commanded to set our affection on the first, the kingdom of God. And Jesus, in the book of Luke, chapter 11, verses 9 and 10, told his disciples that if they seeked, they would find, and if they knocked, the door would be answered. In Luke, the 11th chapter, beginning in verse 9, "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, and ye shall find, seek and it shall be found, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." We need to seek the law of the Lord, and when we seek, we will find. In order for us to seek the law of the Lord, we must devote our life to a study of His Word. As Paul commanded Timothy in the second book to him in chapter 2 and verse 15, "To study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We must study God's Word. We must spend time in this book. We must realize that this book is very important. It's not special because it might have golden edges on the pages and have a nice leather binding. But what's important is the words that are contained in this good book. This book of books, which is inspired of God. And when we seek the law of the Lord and spend time studying it, spend time reading it, as Paul urged Timothy in his first book, to give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine, that is to spend time reading, to give attendance to it, we must do that. You know the King Rehoboam who we studied about. Remember, he was a very wicked king. He was not like his father and others that were before him, but he was a very wicked king. But we read in the 12th chapter of the book of 2 Chronicles of why it was that he did evil. In 2 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 14, speaking of Rehoboam, it says, "And he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord." We need to be as this man of God, Ezra, and prepare our heart to seek the law of the Lord and to seek the Lord. But he didn't just seek the law of the Lord and prepare his heart to do it. We find that Ezra was obedient to the words written in the law. The Scripture simply says that he had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. We realize that it's not enough just to seek the law, and it's not enough just to know the law. But we must do it. We must make application to our lives and live by what we read in these pages. There have been several before us, and there are several currently here that are Bible scholars, that they know the law, but they fail to do it. They fail to be obedient to the words they found written in the law of the Lord. You know, James talked about that in the first chapter of his epistle. In James, the first chapter, beginning in verse 22, he talked about those that need to be hearers of the word and doers, and not just hearers only. James chapter 1, verse 22. "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass," which is a mirror. "For he beholdeth himself, and goeth away, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of this work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." You see the importance of being obedient, of doing what we hear and read in this book. It says that those who are hearers only deceive their own selves. They're just as one that looks in a mirror and walks away and immediately forgets what manner of person they were. We need to look into this perfect law of liberty and be doers of the word. The same psalm that we looked at earlier, the 119th psalm. We looked at verse 2, that blessed are those that keep his testimonies and that seek the Lord with their whole heart. But in verse 11, the psalmist pens, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." You know, when we read and when we study this book, we need to take it to heart, and we need to be able to say, as the psalmist did, that "I've hid the word in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Remember Rehoboam's shortcomings, that he did evil because he failed to seek the Lord? But when we seek the Lord and seek His law, and put it in our heart, we can say that I might not sin against thee. We might be able to enter in to heaven. When we sing that song, 358, when the saved get to heaven, we must be obedient to the words written in this book for us to be among the saved. Indeed, Jesus would say in Luke 11 and verse 28, that blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. That we must do the word just as Ezra in Ezra chapter 7 and 10. Place. When we think of this great man of God and his good example, we see that not only did he prepare his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, but it says, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Not only did he do the words written in the law, but he taught others in Israel these statutes and judgments. Once we know the law, once we know the scriptures, we have a responsibility to teach others. For instance, in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, we're told to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that command is given to all of us today that we must go into the world and preach to all men this gospel without prejudice, without any reservations, but we must teach others. But I want you to be impressed with the order in which he did these things. You know, this verse is written in the order in which he did it. It's not just a list of things he did. We see a very important lesson that he prepared his heart. And then he sought the law. And he did it. And finally, after he had done it himself, he taught others. It's just as Jesus' example in the first chapter of Acts in verse 1. When Luke writes of his former treatise, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. That is, if I'm not practicing something, if I'm not doing it myself, I have no business teaching others. You know, we get that backwards a lot of times. You might often hear the phrase, practice what you preach. But you know, really, if you are saying that, you've missed it. You've mixed the order up. For we need to first do it ourselves before we can go and teach others to do the things written in the book of the law. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. Paul urged Timothy that the things that he had learned from Paul to commit unto faithful men that would be able to teach others also. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. One of the responsibilities of men that preach the gospel, as Timothy, is to commit the word unto faithful men who will be able to teach others also, so that the gospel may continue to be spread, that we learn it ourselves, we apply it in our lives, and we teach others so that they may teach others, and that the gospel may reach the world to the ends. We can't be like the Hebrews. We can read of in the 5th chapter of the book of Hebrews, who had failed themselves to be teachers of others. In Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 12, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as such that have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. What a great example that this man of God set for us. That this man of God who was chosen to lead back that group of the remnant of Israel, back from captivity, Ezra the priest, the scribe. And it's our desire that all would strive to emulate him. That all would do as he did, as we read in this verse. That all would prepare their hearts to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. And to teach others statutes and judgments. We invite you this evening, if you've yet to name the name of Christ, if you've yet to be buried with Him in baptism, to not delay, but to do that this very evening. All things have been made ready. It's a body of water for the remission of your sins, that you may be among those saved that we sang of earlier, that will make it to heaven and be able to spend an eternity with God. We invite you to come believing the gospel, believing that Jesus came down from heaven and lived on this earth, a life free of sin, and went to the cross willingly to shed His blood for the remission of our sins, that we may have hope. We invite you to come believing that, to repent of your sins as Jesus commanded in Luke 13:3. when he said, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. To make confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, as the treasurer did. When he came across the body of water and said unto Philip, See, here is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? Philip said, If thou believe, thou may. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that's the same confession we make this very day. Confess our faith in Jesus Christ. Upon that, to be baptized in the blood of Christ, the remission of our sins, as those on the day of Pentecost were commanded, to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift. And determine to live your life as Ezra, in service to our Lord, in obedience to all, and in teaching others. And we invite you to the name of Christ. If you've become a Christian, but you haven't been fulfilling your responsibility, to do the things written in this book and to teach others, we have that great opportunity to make confession of our sins one to another and pray for one another, that we may receive the forgiveness of our sins. So we implore you this evening, if you have need to put on Christian baptism, or if you're already a Christian who's erred away and needs to make confession of sins, we invite you to come to the front as we stand and as we sing.